Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it. And we're going to do so in a moment, but we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son as entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We really are. And I think we're recognizing that more and more each and every day as we journey deeper into the gift of the divine will. I did see Maureen before we did a sound check. Let me just give a quick look. Does anyone see Maureen? Because maybe I'm just missing her. I did see her. See a lot of beautiful souls. I don't see Maureen. Yeah, okay. Well, why don't we do this? You're stuck with me, unfortunately. So we're going to begin, but if you do happen to see Maureen jump in, please let me know if I don't see her. Give me a chat and tell me that she's here, and we'll say thank you, Lord, for her arrival. So again, for those of you joining us for the first time, or listening for the first time, this is Joseph Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation. What does that mean? Well, back in 2000, the Archbishop of Corrado asked Father Iannuzzi to translate all of Luisa's writings. And Father said yes, and he did so. And Father was so enamored by what he read during his translation that he decided to use Luisa's writings for his doctoral dissertation, his doctorate degree in mysticism. And he set out to prove that everything that Luisa penned, everything that she wrote that was articulated by Jesus or by Mary was captured. And not only was it captured, but it's proven to be grounded in our Catholic faith somewhere, whether it be the magisterium, the deposit of faith, the patristics, the doctors, the fathers, the saints. It had to be somewhere in our Catholic faith. And he successfully defended that, which is beautiful. So what he's done is he's gone through Luisa's writings. He's segregated it into his dissertation, into subject matters. He's given us a summary, a theological summary of the writings. And then he drives us into the volumes, or into the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, to corroborate where he obtained his summary from. And this was not only approved, but it received high accolades, and it was given abrogation approval by the Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So what does that mean? It means that the church put its stamp of approval, said, yes, these summaries are concise. Yes, it is grounded in our Catholic faith. Yes, this is free of error. This is good. This can be used. Anytime it has the abrogation, similar to when a piece of literature has the imprimatur nihil abstat, the church says, yes, you may use this. And for someone who go against that is actually in heresy. And so we have to be very careful. Can't limit God. We can't say, I'm only going to listen to so-and-so. I'm only going to listen to so-and-so. God's given us a plethora of gifts, of beautiful souls that are going to help us in our journey. But in essence, we're all going to make this journey ourselves. It's going to be an individual journey, and we're going to do that individual journey collectively, I guess, if that makes any sense. And we're doing so with this gift of the divine will, this mystical gift, and I'll go into that in a moment. But one thing that Father Celso reminds us of, and it is important, and I'm going to take the word, because sometimes it's misunderstood, I want to take the words of the Archbishop of Corato, of Trani, and it's right here. And he said that, let me just lower this so I can see. Actually, let me go back up here. I think I lost myself here for a moment, which is not good. And thank you, Peter. And let's see, I'm going to pin this over here. Okay, so now we're okay, I think. Okay, so the Archbishop Battista Pacieri has asked that all, this is his exact words, that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. End quote. So that doesn't mean that we cannot read, we cannot study, we cannot get together, we cannot discuss this amongst ourselves. In fact, later in this communication, he articulates the fact that not only is this not approved, to do so, but it's highly encouraged by the Archbishop of Corato to do so. So, but when we come to that juncture where we have a theological question, again, pertaining to the writings and our Catholic faith, our Magisterium, our Deposit of Faith, our Catechism, we need the assistance of a priest. So, and again, many of us out there, I know for a fact, do not have access to a priest, especially a divine will priest. So what Father has done here is it's immensely valuable to us, because as we await the critical edition of Luis's writings, which are not yet released, we have the typical, but we don't have the critical. And the critical, as the Archbishop, the current Archbishop stated, has some ambiguities. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean there's any errors. There's no errors. But the Vatican is having difficulty explaining certain components of the divine will. And Jesus knew this. He said in the volumes, I don't know what volume it was in, he says the church is going to attempt to understand these writings with their own human intellect. And that's impossible. It takes a divine intervention, for lack of a better phrase, to be able to understand that. It needs the grace that God gives to them and gives to us to better understand what's been written. It's that language of heaven that's spoken about. So again, we do need that, but in the process of obtaining that, and we hope we do get that, we eventually will get that, but for now, it's very far and few between. We have this as a beautiful tool to use for our cenacles, for our gatherings, again, to answer any of those questions. Because again, the summary's been given to us by Father, and then he drives us into the volumes where we can understand it better. From Jesus' perspective, from Mary's perspective, as to how they gave it to Luisa, and giving it to Luisa is actually giving it to us as well. So I think that's really important. Now, what's also really important, really, this is tremendous news. And again, I'm not going to be able to articulate it fully, even probably as good as I'd like to. But please, whenever you have the chance and the opportunity, go to Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. Jesus talks about the situation we're in right now. It's the cock. And the cog is basically one main mechanism that powers everything else. God is, of course, that. But what he's doing right now is he's bringing a small group of souls so intimately connected to him as never before given, never before done by him, so that we may know him better, understand the gift better, so that we may embrace it, we may love it, and we may share it. And we may share it in two ways. We may share it verbally or physically amongst ourselves, but most importantly, we share it through doing our acts and doing our rounds. Because by doing that, it doesn't matter where we are or what condition we're in, when we move God to please God, he's going to take our actions and he's going to then disperse through grace, through like a dew, this disposition dew, to all souls, past, present, and future, so that they may respond the way we have. And the way we have is to say that there's something extraordinary here. This is something that's out of the ordinary. It's nothing like anything else we've been given before. It's something really, really special. We recognize that, otherwise we wouldn't be here, or we wouldn't be listening to this or viewing this at this time. So we've been given that mystical gift already. Why do we see in this divine will what many, many, in fact, the vast majority do not see? We're looking at the same thing. but we see it. God's given us that grace to see it. So we really have to be very, very thankful for that. Now, there's nothing we've done to earn that. That is a mystical gift. And Father Inuzzi gives us a summary of what a mystical gift is. Mystical gifts are not given equally, as are our baptismal gifts. So mystical gifts are given by God to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. So we have to be thankful. Gratitude. Remember, ingratitude was one of the greatest pains that Jesus suffered in his humanity. No one said thank you to him. The lepers, one came back nigh and walked away. They say, thank you, Lord. You've allowed us to see something here that many others do not see. So that's a gift. We thank him for the gift. Now, after we recognize that we've been given the gift, now our work begins. And now, depending on our desire, on what we do, will predicate how much he gives us and when he gives us and to what extent he gives us. And I can just, I'd like to just highlight this because this is something that we've been talking about on Radio Maria the last couple of weeks. And this is really so, so incredible. Because God, you know, he's planting these little hints, he's giving us these secrets to help us along our journey. And this is probably one of the greatest that I've recognized, and many others have also. It comes from Volume 23, November 27th, 1927. And this is it, quote, my daughter, that which is most necessary. Okay, so let's just look at the words he's using here. He didn't say, my daughter, this is one of the most necessary, or my daughter, this is not one among many that are most necessary. This, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will. Okay, so he's going to let us know what is most necessary to receive this gift, to move forward. And again, we've already received the mystical gift of recognizing it, but now how do we move forward? So that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will, Jesus speaking, my divine will, reigning in the midst of creatures, end quote. So the thing that's most necessary is to move God. How do we move God? Well, I think we move God first and foremost. The easiest way to do that would be with our attentiveness, with our desire. You know, it's like in class, in any school class you've been in, a good teacher will be able to recognize a student that really wants to get it, but maybe is having difficulty. That's God too. He knows we're going to have difficulty. But if he sees our attentiveness, if he sees our desire, he knows what's in our heart. If he knows our intention is to do the best we can, even if we fall short, way short, he says he'll fill in all the gaps. He'll fill in all the voids. He'll make sure that we get this gift, that we know this gift, that we treasure this gift, and that we're able to share this gift through our acts and our rounds. So we can do that. And we're going to do that. And we can do that just today. We can do it every time we open the book or listen online to anything to do with the divine will. We're moving God. We're showing God, yes, God, I trust you. I do believe this to be true, God. I just need to get more information because I'm just not getting it, God. That's okay. We're honest with God. He knows. He knows if we're getting it or not. It's okay not to get it, because when we recognize and we are able to tell him, almost like a confession, Lord, we're not understanding this, he's going to give us the wherewithal to understand it. And it may come very soon. It may come immediately for some, especially things that we've been belaboring and things that we've been having difficulty with. So again, the first thing is to move God. We can do that this evening. We can do that at every moment, doing our actual acts throughout the day. Come divine will, drive in my driving. Come divine will, ride in my riding, wash in my washing. Always thinking of God. You know, the ardent desire is so important. There's components to an ardent desire. And Jesus articulates that. Father Inuzzi extrapolated it. And we placed it in a video, not a video, an image, a Vizio, I should say. And it's on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's under the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And it's an ardent desire. And this is what Jesus is looking for in us. Again, not difficult to possess an ardent desire. Because he says that ardent desire, and in the state of grace, he guarantees, I think this is in volume 16, I'm not really sure. He says, in the state of grace with an ardent desire, he guarantees we will receive this gift. We will be able to journey in this gift. He'll be able to give us and trust us with the mystical gifts and graces to be able to understand this. That's incredible. So to move God, Jesus tells us in Volume 23, November 27, 1927, is the most necessary. Then he says, the other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and prays God to give such a great good must possess within herself the life of the kingdom, which she asks for the other creatures. End quote. So we're always asking for the divine will on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future. Well, Jesus here is telling us that before that can happen, we have to possess it ourselves, just like Father himself. So he's very astute when he says, this must be known. Who must it be known to? It must be known to us first, to whatever capacity, lesser or greater degree, that we can do so that we're in a position to make those rounds, to do those acts, to move God, to make sure that we prove to God that others should receive this gift such as we have, or respond to it as we have. So again, moving God is the most necessary. Jesus says, not me saying it. And number two is to possess it through asking. And that's incredible. And asking is one of those four requisites that we need. And again, Jesus articulates this also in the volumes. It says there's four things that we need to be able to possess this gift. He says, number one, we need to be in the state of grace, of course. Number two, we must form an ardent desire, which we just talked about. Number three, we must have an upright intention. We're asking for those other souls. She must possess within herself the life of the kingdom, which she asks for the other creatures. So the upright intention is, Lord, I want this gift for myself. Of course, I want it for my family and my loved ones, but I want this for all creatures, past, present, and future. And again, we're asking for that. God's going to be able to give us the gift to whatever capacity, to whatever level. That really is unimportant at this time. And then we can move God to dispose other souls to be receptive like we have been. So I think that's really, really important. I think that has just stayed in my mind. Just maybe you want to print that out. That's really important. The other thing that I think corresponds to that, and also corresponds to maybe this Divine Will Retreat that's coming up. I don't know if you received the email about the registration, but if you have not received an email this evening, maybe about an hour before we went live, about the retreat in Malvern, Pennsylvania, the Malvern Retreat Center for June 30th through July 2nd. I just got the invite myself, and I distributed it. Now, again, this may not be possible for all souls, due to travel, due to personal situations, financial situations, maybe health situations. So don't feel badly if you cannot go to a retreat, because in essence, we do not have to go to a retreat. I'm saying that, I hope I'm not misunderstood, but I mean, if we can't go, we don't have to go. So don't get despondent over it. And Jesus tells us that. He says this is so great, in Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. He says, first starts off with Louisa. Louisa says, now blessed Jesus came and told me, quote, now this is Jesus speaking, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It needed to be easy and accessible to all, in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place, end quote. So just taking those last two, it's everywhere. So what is most necessary in order to obtain this gift is to move God. We can do that, as Jesus articulated, in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. Wherever we are right now, we can do the same thing we can from anywhere else in the world. That is incredible. Most necessary and in every place. So God really has made this easy. But again, his caveat is, unless they don't want it. So we have the option through our free will to say, no, Lord, I'm okay. Thanks, but no thanks. I mean, we'd be foolish to say that, but we could, and he'll accept that. So that's really important, I think. Both of those are fantastic, and I think that really helps us. I know I've got days when I struggle and I'm saying, having difficulty reading, or having difficulty understanding, or I don't have the time, or I've got some other things that are sort of distracting me. But God wants, he knows our intention. So we do the best we can. We do the best and he does the rest. I'm not a poet, but that's what it makes sense. So it's just absolutely fantastic. So we're going to begin again, has anyone seen Maureen? No, maybe something came up. All right. So we're on 5.3.7.3. And again, this is Father Anuzzi's summary. And we're still on footnote number 288. So I'm going to bring us up to that, if I may. So this is the human will's passivity and propensity to continuously cooperate with the divine will and to share in God's immutability. And this is basically God engulfing us to protect us, to bind us, and to allow us to be immutable, not to change. And he does that in a myriad of different ways. So if Maximus, we're talking about Maximus, maintains that divine love is a fully theatric reality in the soul, Louisa relates that in the soul in whom God's own love abides, its human acts are absorbed by the divine will that keeps them continuously linked to God's eternal operation and establishing it a theandric reality. I think that's very descriptive. The human acts are absorbed, you know, like water left to just stay on a counter will eventually evaporate. But when you use a sponge, the sponge absorbs it. So God's absorbing our acts before they evaporate. He's going to elevate those acts. He's going to divinize those acts because we can't do it ourselves. We're the water just floundering around waiting to be evaporated. But God says, no, no more. In her depictions of Adam's prelapsarian acts in the divine will, Louisa underscores this Maximian reality. Adam's obediential passivity to the divine will allowed God to proceed, accompany, and follow all that which he did in Eden. God's operation preceded Adam's acts. Again, we talked about this last week also. Grace anticipates the soul. We have nothing to be worried about. Jesus tells us that grace will be there, precedes, will be there before we need it, perhaps a split second before we need it, but it'll be there. We may be looking for it in advance that we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't recognize it. And then when we need it, at the moment we need it, we receive it. And, you know, we could use as an example, how about those saints, those martyrs in the past? St. Lawrence comes to mind, the deacon who was burned. And halfway, I mean, half his body is totally charred. And he looks to the people persecuting him and says, turn me over, I'm done. I mean, absolutely infuriating them. But how do you get that sort of sense of humor? How do you keep that disposition? Of course, through a mystical gift. So God gave it to St. Lawrence, it appears, at the moment he needed it. He's going to do the same for us. So God anticipates the soul. So while accompanying them by cooperating with them and following them by maintaining from one human action to the next their continuity with his eternal operation. So God keeps us constant. Indeed, the continuous link that Adam established, with God's divine will vested his finite acts with the power to impact all creatures concomitantly and to share in God's immutability. So again, that sponge picked us up and kept us in God's bosom. Without that, we remain on that counter, evaporating to nothing. It's incredible. So that's 288. We're on 288. I think we did at least one footnote in 288. So let's see if we can pick up sort of where we left off. Okay. This was taken from volume 28, February 22nd, 1930. And we read the first three paragraphs, so I'm just going to pick up where we are here, if that's okay. Okay. So after this, I followed the acts of the divine fiat, going around in the works of creation, in Eden, in the most notable points and people of the history of the world, to ask in the name of all for the kingdom of the divine will upon earth. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, by withdrawing from my divine will, man gave death to the goods which my divine volition would have made rise in him. So we stop the growth. We stop that lifting up, that elevation that God is giving us. Had it not been rejected. As he went out, so died the continuous act of the divine life in man. And this reminds me of a let me just bring the pointer out because I'm going to forget where I am. Reminds me of a homily I once heard. And the priest said that, you know, the Catholic faith is like riding a bicycle up a hill. once you stop pedaling, you're going to fall. That's so true. And it's sort of like what also Adam did. We know that the reason why Adam fell is because he, quote, took his gaze off God. In essence, he forgot about God and just thought of himself. And I think from there, we've gotten to the point in the world that we are right now where everyone, almost everyone, the vast majority of people think about themselves, think of God very little. Although that ratio is changing quickly, I think. The sanctity that always grows died. So the progression stopped. The light that always arises, the beauty that never stops, always to embellish, the uttering love that never says enough, which always, always wants to give. More so, since by rejecting my divine will, died the order, the air, the food that was to nourish him consistently, continuously. So everything necessary for our growth stopped. We were basically on our own. That's like being in the desert and being fed, like the souls were fed with the manna. And then you're being fed every day for a week. And then on the eighth day, there's no food. And you recognize you're in the desert. There's no food. There's no plantations. There's no vegetation. There's nothing. We die spiritually. But in that particular case, we would die physically. See then how many divine goods man caused to die within himself by withdrawing from my divine will. We lost everything, but that's an interesting quote too. You know, we lost everything because we did lose everything, but we really didn't lose everything. We lost everything except God kept the divine will beating Adam's heart, breathing Adam's lungs, and flowing Adam's blood. Because if God had taken that away, Adam would have ceased to exist. When we say Adam, we mean Adam and Eve. They would have ceased to exist. And thus, redemption would not have been a possibility and sanctification would not be a possibility. But we knew that was in the book of life, for each every one of us, if we wanted it. So God kept that going so that Jesus and Mary for 6,000 years can deposit everything that we would need to be able to reconcile this gift, to understand this gift and possess this gift. Everything needed was given to us. So now things are beginning to come back. You know, it's sort of like that yo-yo. You know, when you release the yo-yo, it has to go all the way down to the bottom. There's no way, at least I haven't found a way where you can jerk the yo-yo up halfway down. Actually, you accelerate the fall if you do that, I think. I'm not a physics major, but I think that's what happens. So what happens though when it hits bottom, that's when you get the bounce back. And when Jesus says in the volumes also that, you know, evil will exhaust itself, that's probably the bottom. When evil can be no more evil than it already has been. Because if you think about that, evil does, love never has a limit, but evil does have a limit. I mean, what's the worst they can do to us? Well, you can probably imagine they can mutilate our body. They can whatever they want to do, but there's a limit. How bad can it get? It can only get so bad. Evil will exhaust itself. And then that new springtime that he speaks about and St. Pope John Paul II speaks about. Now, wherever there has been the death of good, the sacrifice of life is required in order to make the destroyed good rise again. This is why, justly and wisely, whenever I wanted to renew the world and give a good to creatures, I have requested the sacrifice of life, as I asked of Abraham, the sacrifice of sacrificing to me his only son, which indeed he carried out, and prevented by me he stopped. And in that sacrifice, which cost Abraham more than his own life, the new generation rose again in which the divine liberator and redeemer was to descend, who was to make the good which had died in the creature rise again. With the passing of time, I allowed the sacrifice and the great sorrow of Jacob for the death of his beloved son, Joseph, and even though he did not die, it was for him as if he had died in reality. This was the new call that made the celestial liberator rise again in that sacrifice, whom it called to make the lost good rise again. Why he had to die? God had to die. And our Blessed Mother knew that. Jesus knew that. Would have been easy to say, you know, we can do it another way. But It was the difficult way. It was the only way. And Mary gave us probably the greatest example of giving up even holy things. She gave up the holiest of holy things. She gave up her son because she knew if her son died, all his children, all her children would have the opportunity to live. So any sacrifice, you know, when you think about that, any sacrifice we make in life is nothing compared to the sacrifice Christ and his mother made. And Louisa, for that matter, too. But she experienced an incredible martyrdom also. Jesus calls this the martyrdom of martyrdoms, because a martyrdom, as we understand it, you know, let's say you go to the guillotine for your faith. Well, you pray that the blade is very sharp, and it's usually going to be very quick. But the martyrdom of martyrdom is every moment of every day of constantly trying to stop, prevent our human will from basically messing things up. It takes a lot of discipline because we're sort of used to doing things our own way. But now we're doing what God wants. And we also understand that this is physically, spiritually, and mentally impossible for us alone. We can only do it through the grace of God, through those mystical gifts, through that grace that anticipates the soul. It's all connected. All connected. Furthermore, I myself, by coming upon earth, wanted to die. But with the sacrifice of my death, I called for the rising again of many lives and of the good which the creature had caused to die. And I wanted to rise again in order to confirm the life for the good and the resurrection for the human family. That's how he gave us life. And he talks about that. I'm going to bring that up if I may, if I remember where I am. The resurrection. It's really important. This is volume 36. Volume 36 is so fantastic because it's like, well, 35 and 36. It's like the finale. This is when Jesus really gives us all those really important, poignant points that he has to send us away with. Volume 36, April 20th, 1938. Just an excerpt, if I may. After this, I continued my round in all that our Lord did on earth, and I stopped in the act of resurrection. What triumph, what glory. Heaven poured itself on earth to be spectator of such a great glory. My beloved, Jesus said, my daughter, in my resurrection, the right was given to creatures to rise again in me to new life. It was the confirmation, the seal of my whole life, my works and my words. If I came on earth, it was to give to each and every one my resurrection as their own, to give them life and make them rise again in my own resurrection. But do you want to know where is the real resurrection of the creature? Not in the end of her days, but while she is still living on earth. One who lives in my will rises again to light and says, my night is over. She rises again in the love of her creator, so that there is no more cold or snow for her, but the smile of the heavenly spring. She rises again to sanctity that puts in rushed flight all weaknesses, all miseries and passions. She rises again to all that is heaven. And if she looks at the earth, heaven and sun, she does it to find the works of her creator, to take the opportunity to narrate to him his glory and his long love story. Therefore, one who lives in my will can say, as the angel said to the holy woman on the way to the sepulcher, he is risen. He is not here anymore. One who lives in my will can also say, my will is not with me any longer. It is risen again in the fiat. And if the circumstances of life, opportunities, and suffering surround the creature as if they were looking for her will, she can answer, my will is risen again. It is not in my power anymore. I possess in exchange the divine will, and I want to cover with its light all things around me. Circumstances and sufferings, to make them like many divine conquests. The soul who lives in our will finds life in the acts of her Jesus, and as always in the life she finds our operating, conquering, triumphant will. She gives us so much glory that heaven cannot contain it. Therefore, live always in our will. Never leave it if you want to be our triumph and our glory. Talk about an explication. Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism. The resurrection was always there. But we didn't know this. It's not another resurrection. Remember, Article 66 of the Catechism states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. And we may as well go to Article 67, which defines the role of the mystic, which states, the role of the mystic is not to complete or add to revelation, but to allow souls to better understand what has already been given in a certain period of time. To animate it, not to recreate it. That's what Louisa did. There's a French mystic, Bergeon, who said that. He says, paraphrasing, that through the words of the mystics, our mystical life is rejuvenated. We all have a mystical aspect of our lives. But mysticism for the last maybe 60 or 70 years has been really put on the back burner, but it's coming back. We cannot neglect prophecy. We cannot neglect mysticism. We cannot neglect mystics when approved and vented properly by the church. So we're living the resurrection. It's the resurrection of our human will. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. How can there be a bad, there's no such thing as a bad day anymore. How can we ever say it's a bad, now, of course, we're human and we're living in this world, but there's going to be some days that are better than others, but can't be a bad day anymore. We're journeying. God's taking our intention. God's giving us the grace just at the moment we need it, or just prior to when we need it. No, nothing to worry about, except relapsing into our own human will. I guess that's enough to worry about. Okay, let's go back up, if I can find where I was. Okay, found it. Yeah. What great crime it is to make good die. So much so that the sacrifice of other lives is required in order to make it rise again. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, with all my redemption and the sacrifice of my death, since my divine will does not reign, not all good has risen again in the creature. My will is repressed and cannot carry out the sanctity it wants. Good suffers from intermediacy. Now it rises, now it dies. And my fiat remains with the continuous sorrow of not being able to make rise all the good it wants in the creature. And this is why I remained in the little host as sacrament. I departed for heaven, but I remained on earth in the midst of creatures to be born, live, and die, though mystically, in order to make rise in them all the good which man rejected by withdrawing from my divine will. So now we understand why the mandate that we must attend church every Sunday, we must receive Holy Communion, of course, in the state of grace. Because the Eucharist is the divine will. Yeah, even for that 15 minutes that the church says, until it dissolves. But if we get enough of those 15 minutes, okay, God is conditioning us. He's actually creating addicts out of us to be addicted to his love, to be addicted to his divine will. To exchange that 15 minutes of the divine will for a perennial divine will. And not subject to watering down. You know, the Eucharist, we have the efficacy can be mitigated by our lack of disposition. We may not receive the full strength. But in the divine will, we've already sort of cleared customs. He's already taken that out of the equation. So we're receiving the full, robust beauty, strength, and grace. That's incredible also. And united to my sacrifice, I ask for the sacrifice of your life to make its kingdom rise again in the midst of the human generations. And from each tabernacle, I am as though on the lookout to accomplish the complete work. Redemption and fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. Content with sacrificing myself and dying in each host in order to make the son of my divine fiat, the new era, and its full triumph rise again. He's on the lookout. I love that. He's on the lookout from the tabernacle. I think of that image of Jesus coming out of the tabernacle. You have the, as a little boy, and maybe I'll put that in the email with the little, with the hand up here looking for souls. Upon departing from the earth, I said, I go to heaven and I remain on earth in the sacrament. I will content myself with waiting for centuries. I know it will cost me much. Unheard of outrages will not be lacking, maybe more than in my very passion. But I will arm myself with divine patience. And from the little host, I will accomplish the complete work. I will make my will rise, reign in the hearts, and will continue to remain in their midst to enjoy the fruits of so many sacrifices I have been through. Therefore, together with me, be united to the sacrifice for a cause so holy and for the just triumph that my will may reign and dominate. Well, before closing, I'd like to just, again, for any of us having that, we've had better days and not a bad day. My daughter, I had to do in such a way that sanctity, that this divine will may be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. Accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and at every place. My daughter, that's which is most necessary in order to obtain this good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will. That which is most necessary is to move God. We can move God in whatever capacity we're in. Handicaps don't matter. Physical, mental, emotional handicaps. Move God from my bed, from my chair, from my hospital. I can move God right now. We've moved God, I'm sure, today, this evening. The other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it prays to God, asks for this gift, receives the gift so that others may receive this gift. No such thing as a bad day anymore. Speaking of days, I just want to get a little bit of scheduling here. Okay. Tomorrow we have a full day with Reverend Father B. Thomas Celso. It's a day of recollection. It begins, well, it really begins at 8 o'clock in the morning with live adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. And then Father will begin a series of 5 45-minute talks beginning at 9 a.m., concluding at about 2:45 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's tomorrow, Saturday, February 11th. I'll send the email out this evening. It's the same link. All our cynicals have the same link. So if you have one email, you can just look at that. On Sunday, we have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live. You're live streaming from Italy. And again, journeying with Mother Gabriel and the sisters is like no other journey. And again, for those of you who don't know, Mother Gabriel Marie is the former Sister Catherine, who was the secretary, the right-hand sister to Mother Angelica on EWTN for over 35 years. She left. She was next in charge. She would have been in charge of EWTN right now, but she left for the divine will because they didn't want the divine will. So she had to give up even holy things. She had to give up EWTN to receive the divine will. That's incredible. Last but not least, we have the retreat coming up. That was just announced today. Let me see if I can bring that up now quickly. The fly just dropped in my lap here. Okay. Here it is. Everyone can see that. It's going to be at the Malvern Retreat House. The retreat master is Father Celso, who will be there in person, not via live stream. Mother Gabriel Marie will also be there again in person. And we're also told that Father Blunt will be there also. Father Blunt, who I think began with the Flame of Love, has really come over to the divine world, recognizing that the flame of love and all devotions are all roads that lead to the divine will. So that's on June 30th to July 2nd. There's a registration email that I sent out. If you didn't receive it, please send me an email. No phone calls on the weekend because so no one's there, but they'll be available on Monday morning. And again, you see the cost. Again, this is, we're not, all we did was we were able to get the speakers. We got Father Celso and Mother Gabriel. The cost is what it is. It's a, supposedly, a I've never been there, beautiful retreat center, the largest in the country, lay owned, 125 acres. So $325 includes rooming, the meals, and the talks. Again, Friday evening to I think Sunday afternoon. It does include mass. But you'll be able to get more information from the retreat house. But again, if you didn't get the link to make your registration or to give your registration details, just let us know. We'll send that out to you this evening. Again, retreat master, Father Celso. So again, we're really, really blessed again, but we go back to what we spoke about maybe 45 minutes ago. If you cannot make this retreat because of personal situation, health reasons, financial reasons, it's okay. God told us it's available. It's easy and accessible. It's available everywhere in all circumstances and every place. So if we can't be there, we can do what we can do there from wherever we are. Don't tell Malvern that, but we can. The divine will. We have to go nowhere. Remember what Jesus told Louisa. You'll look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. This is all interior. It's interior work. We've worked 2,000 years on the exterior. Now we're working from the inside out because the body expresses the soul. So if we fix the soul, the body gets fixed. We're blessed. But we missed Maureen this evening. But I'll give her your regards for sure. So see everyone tomorrow, hopefully, for the Divine Will Day of Recollection. Again, Father's first talk at 9 a.m. Adoration begins at 8 a.m. and then Mother Gabriel on Sunday. We are truly blessed and blessed to be alive at this time. Be kind to one another. Love it. Someone's asking, will it be recorded? I was told it would be recorded. It's not going to be Mary's Hill. We're not going to be live streaming either. I think it's available, but I think there's a fee for that also. I don't know what it is, but I think the retreat house will have that information and you can call them on Monday. If I find out anything in the interim before Monday, I'll pass along the email. Promise. Okay. Love everyone. Be kind to one another. Okay. God bless us. Thanks be to God for everything that he's done and continues to do. Bye-bye.